Conversations.
Welcome to Heart Smart Conversations with me, Martha Louise, and my two great friends, Mari Manzetti and Lily Bendris. Today, Lily was an owl.
Yeah, you.
We are three spiritual women with a deep felt desire to help all people understand the transformational power of love and how to implement it into our lives for the better of all mankind. Changing the world starts with each and every one of us, and it starts with experiencing the love we all carry in our hearts. By tapping into this deep, unconditional love intelligence, we can transform our lives for the better. Yes, ladies.
Yes.
Last week we had Hanna Martina Baller here.
Yeah.
And she was talking about an exercise, a practice of...
Yes.
Opening a rose on the top of your head, and that blue light, it
came through you.
Yeah, that opened up for it. Yeah. So the flower opened up for a blue light coming through you, and then the blue light goes through your body, and you sense your whole body getting this blue light, and then you stop the blue light with the rose on top of your head by closing. Yeah. So this exercise was for me. It felt a bit closed because for me, the rose represented the crown chakra, and the crown chakra is where I get like the connection to the divine. And I'm used to not having like open like this one, but you have it like here. And then I have for such a long time use that exercise to have that open during the day, because that is actually the best for me, the best protection that you can have, because then you have the connection, and then you have the connection to the earth from the heart, and then I am like present in myself, and I have like both ways. So when she was like closing it, that was a bit like, it felt a bit like I got imprisoned in myself. And I think it's amazing that you have different ways of doing this.
Yeah, for me it was not the crown chakra she was talking about. She created a rose like a signal from the source that represented the energy that she wanted to fill her body with. And when she had filled her body and saying thanks for giving me this, she closed the rose. So for me it was not the crown chakra she talked about.
I see. And then you get showered by the rose.
Showered by the rose.
Okay, yeah. Thank you for clarifying that.
Because I think it's the practice she shared with us. It was very interesting because she said hello to her body. And very often we are up in the head. We are dealing up here. But every day she went down and said hello to the body. And I feel that it's so important to connect with yourself also.
All the way down
to your toes. So it was so powerful for me to do it every day and to feel the energy coming through me. And I think that's a practice I want to continue with. When I first heard it, I understood it the same way as you, Mata. And I was thinking, closing the crown chakra, that's hard for me. But then I saw that flower in the middle of the crown chakra as a symbol of the energy I could get.
Yeah.
And that was so beautiful to see it like a shower through my body. So for me, it was a gift that she gave us there.
Yeah.
And I think everybody should try to say hello to the body, because as I have experienced through my sickness, all my things, my challenges, when I was only in my head, my body sent signals and I didn't want to listen to them. But now when I connect with my body, I can take the signal soon, and then I listen to the voice instead of running away from it.
Yeah.
So it's
the inner voice.
Inner voice. And if you feel that, okay, I'm in some pain here or something there or whatever it is, but when you're up in the head all the time and just connecting with the head, the body finds its own way. So connect with the body.
Yeah, and I think that's very important what you're saying now, because I think a lot of people who are spiritual forget their body.
Yeah.
Because many people who are spiritual, or at least in my experience, I have to talk about me, not the others, but from my experience, I used for a few years spirituality as an escape from this world,
yeah.
like from my body, away from, like, it was so nice being out there, you know, escaping the body, like floating away, having a place to go to away from this harsh life, because it's not for newbies, this life. This is, it's hard,
You know,
and I felt that it was too hard sometimes. And to escape into that meditation or escape into that daydream or something else was easier than being present.
Absolutely.
And after I found a way of connecting to the body, I understood that my body was so neglected and overseen in that escape. Because we have chosen to be here on this planet with a body. And then to then neglect it completely is like saying no to something you've actually chosen that you're supposed to. We have everybody here on this planet, in my opinion, again, in my opinion, not everybody agrees with me. Many people don't, and that's okay too. We don't have the one truth here. But I believe that we choose our lives and we choose to come here, and that we can, and by being here, we have to acknowledge that that's what we've chosen. And to neglect our bodies is like neglecting the choice we have made too. And I also find that being spiritual is taking care of your body, because your body is also an instrument for your spirituality. It's like the flute. The flute is a physical instrument, but without the breath, it doesn't produce a tune.
Yeah.
And like, it's like the breath is our soul, and then the flute itself is our bodies. And we can't experience our soul without the body. Yeah. And so we need to appreciate and love our bodies also in our spiritual practices. And that's what I found has given so much after I discovered.
That's true.
Yeah,
but it's very much that when you look back in time and see that within the spiritual domain, it was very much that the body should be punished if it had lusts for sex, erotic thing. The monks and the nuns, and that is something. I think also we have inherited a lot from our forefathers, foremothers, that karmic memory, and that now it's time to set that free and honor that we actually can use it. It wasn't, it wouldn't have been given to us, I think, if it wasn't. They created us with emotion. Well, I say they, okay. Him or they, the source, the source, or her, and for us to use it, it was nothing wasted. There was nothing wrong with creation.
Absolutely not.
So, and we, I think we enjoy our bodies, all three of us.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I also think it's important when we talk about the body that we also say good things to our body, because it's very easy for us to talk our body down. Like we are saying, I'm too fat, I'm too ugly, too whatever it is. And I sometimes I'm thinking of that because the Japanese photographer, you met him, Mata, who took photos of water. Was it Dr. Masaru Emoto?
Yes. Yeah. That's right.
And when we see his photos and we see how water changes when it's prayed for and when it's sent hate to.
Yeah, so Dr. Emoto was one of the pioneers of studying the remembrance in water, coding of water. So
he would freeze water, and then just as it became just around zero, when it started melting, they would form these amazing crystals, like snow crystals. And they did different experiments with bottles that they put different names on, labels on, like love and beauty and kindness. But they also put hate and resentment and bitterness and all these things. So the ones with love and empathy and all these positive words became these amazing crystals that they could, see in the water that they took pictures of. But the bottles that had words, which was hateful and negative, mm-hmm. The water didn't manage to crystallize at all. It was more like amoebas. It looked like amoebas. And the same with music. So classical music, Mozart, for example, would be the most amazing roses or crystals, crystallizations. Hard metal, death metal. The amoeba formed, and it didn't even form crystals. That was basically what he was studying, and it was so interesting meeting him.
Yeah, and it's when we think about this, and I've seen these photos, we can imagine how our body.
It's mostly water.
Yeah, it's mostly water. Mm. And if we talk to ourselves in a negative form all the time, it's not good for us. But if we talk for ourselves with love and say, you are accepted. And that practice we did and we do with sending love to our body.
Yeah,
it's so important.
So true. That's such a good reminder, Mani. Really. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's
really true. But also how spirituality identifying as being spiritual.
Yeah. What is it?
What is that really? Because I find that you get put, or you have been at least in the past, put in a box again when you are spiritual. You have to be in a certain way. And you grew up in a time, Lily, where this was like...
The churchgoers at home, they put on, the women put on a hat and a nice suit on the Sunday to honor and be present in the church. But it was also, I had experience with being with the stricter type of sect, where they told me that putting makeup on, that was so unholy, and it was so bad. One should not flash one's body or one's look. And I did the opposite. I flashed all the time.
Yeah, but that was religious.
That was religious. But also, it's interesting because when the so-called New Age came, the hippies, then you should not wear any makeup, hardly wash your hair, long dresses, flat shoes.
Yeah.
And
what color?
And mostly very, purple? Very, no, yeah, purple. Yeah, purple was a purple good color. Brown. That was a very spiritual color. Yeah. And some green for the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I remember when I awoke when I was 42. I was this lady with big hats and shoulder pads and false eyelashes and lots of makeup. And I came to the first meeting with this new group of people. And I looked around and I said, oh my God, do I have to change completely in order to be spiritual? And the voice was loud and clear. You have to be exactly as you are, Lily.
Yeah. Yeah.
The importance is the heart. It's always the heart. Mm. And the other thing is thing we create. Mm. There is no God in heaven that has said that I cannot put on mascara. Mm. It's our invention. Mm. So, I remember I had a guy sending me an email, said, it's such a shame that you do not honor God's creation by using makeup and the way you look. Mm. and should be natural. And then I said, well, an architect take a piece of stone, beautiful stone, many stone, and he builds a church. Mm. So you do something with creation to also beautify it or create something out of it. So when I put makeup on, it's like clean sheet of paper. And I kind of, I love to draw when I always were drawing faces when I was a little girl. So then I create something that I like and I play with it. And then they say, that's not you. Yes, because I am many. I'm many me. And I play and dance and enjoy this style, this hair color and this kind of dress. So I think for me, it's a kind of honoring creation.
And you are you. And that's so important. That spiritual people comes in all forms and shapes and everything. Yeah. And as long as you are yourself, it's okay to have a lot of makeup. It's okay to do whatever you want. If you like yourself, but if you do it for others, then it's a different story.
That's a different story, yeah.
If you put on your lipstick and your makeup because you want to want me to like you better, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Because then you have to love yourself first.
Yeah.
But isn't it interesting how, I mean, many people being spiritual come to back to your like pod. They come back to your family, the people who think like you, that are like you, that resonates with you.
Yes.
Like, and you feel free, you know, like being with them. But suddenly with that freedom comes another box. That you have to fit into that box. You have to have crystals. You have to not wear makeup. You have to have long dresses. You have to have sandals. You have to like, it's that prototype of what a spiritual person is.
Yeah.
And it's just so interesting to me that you go out of one box and just jump into another one instead of saying, well, this is me and I'm going to honor me. And instead acknowledge that we're all different. And appreciate the difference in everyone created.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that I find is so beautiful. Why do we want to make them like us? Why do we want to like belong in a group or a thing when all of us are amazing and we belong here on earth? We belong with each other, all of us.
But that is part of the thing also, that people are longing to have a clan. To have somebody around them that feel safe. That's biological. It's from the first cave people. We stick together, then we are safe. And the acceptance of being in that clan. And there is always somebody, one person that starts to tell somebody else what is right, how you should be. And then they start to follow. Because who decided, for example, in the hippie movement, who decided? Then you had some gurus or somebody that they looked up to and they followed that. So we are. I feel that we are asked more and more to follow our own inner self.
Absolutely. And he's actually done an experiment with that one.
Yeah.
Because they have put 200 people on a big, big square, really big square. And five of these people knew where they were going.
Okay.
And the rest didn't know, but they knew that they should hold an arm length distance from the other one.
Yeah.
And then they could go wherever they wanted. Big, big square. And after a little while, the five people started to move into one corner where they were addressed to go. And I think after 15 minutes or something, all 200 were in the same corner. Because of five people.
Yeah.
And that's maybe also when we see one strong spiritual person or one strong person, we do the same, even if we don't know it.
Yeah.
But then it's so important to listen to what do you want? What? Mm. How do you? How are you? How connect with yourself?
Is that right for you?
Yeah, is that right
where
for
you're
you?
Going? Yeah. Or is that where everybody else is
because
going?
Because we are we are connected in the energetic way.
Yeah. And we live in a world now that is so diverse. And it's hard because we are bombarded with different idea of what is right and what is wrong. And so it's hard to stand strong in your own beliefs.
Absolutely.
And I remember when I awoke to this new world, I started to read this guru say this and this person say that. A lot of different persons, what they meant, what they said, which one should I believe in? And I got very confused.
Yeah.
So in the end, I said, no, I don't follow anybody. I simply try and be as good as I can and do the thing that is okay for me. And it was the simple way. I am not meditating 2 hours a day. For me, my meditation is my work, and my meditation is listening to a song. Mm-hmm. Being in my car, I shouldn't say that, because I think I drive on autopilot. Mm-hmm. But that also, of course, is different for everybody. My good friend, she's meditating for hours and hours, and I couldn't do that.
No, but it's different type of kind of meditation. I think many people think that you have to sit still and clear your mind, and that's meditation. But meditation can also be to look at the sunset.
Yes.
This is such a good example for me, because practices can be so different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it hits people in different ways. You get different association. It doesn't mean that it's something wrong with the exercise.
No.
But it's how I perceived it. Yeah. And what is my, you know, a way of looking at it. Mm. And that's also so important with spiritual work, I find, or spiritual evolvement, I want to call it. Because spiritual evolvement includes so much. Yes. It can be from getting a spiritual experience by watching a sunset. Mm. Like I remember when I was, how old was I then? Like 20, 21, something like that. And I was in Greece, and I was on this boat, and I had been with people all day, and I was really tired of being with people, because this was before I figured out that I was highly sensitive and how to, you know, protect myself and everything. So I took in everything from everybody all day or every day. And I was with another family, and I had just been like bombarded for me of information and from everybody else around me. And I was always exhausted after days with people, you know. And so on the journey back from this island, I sat in the front of the boat.
Yeah.
All by myself. And the sunset, and it was a huge red sunset, and I just started crying. I just cried and cried and cried, and I didn't know why I was crying. And the whole family was like, oh my God, she's crying. Why is she crying? We've had an amazing day. And I was like, why am I crying? You know, why am I crying? It's beautiful. I've had an amazing day. We've been on this wonderful island, and then I'm crying all the way back. And I was like sobbing, crying. It wasn't like just... And I was just like, I can't help myself. I just have to cry. And I just remember that feeling, because it wasn't a bad cry. It was just like total release.
Yes.
And just from seeing the sun, and that something so beautiful exists on this planet, you know, when we have so much horrible things happening here too, that it just became so big for me that it just kind of sprinkled over into tears in a way, if you see what I mean.
And
I think that, you know, we often talk about, oh, spiritual experiences, or this is so, you know, that is being spiritual, or this is being spiritual, but it's really just like watching the sunset sometimes, or listening to a bird singing, or being in the woods and being present with the trees, or looking into a fire.
Yes, absolutely.
And when you touch the sunset, and it's, you clear your mind. I think you cleared your mind, Mata, when you were sitting there and saw the sunset, and you had a lot of impression from the day and a lot of people around you. You cleared your mind in that sunset.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, it was overwhelming, and I think it just kind of, like, it just had to come out.
Yeah. And how did you feel after?
Then it was great.
Yeah.
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 But I had that quite often and I thought I was crazy. Mm. Like, for example, when I was with my friends, we usually, you know, went on girl trips. And in Norway, we have like cabins in the woods and on the mountains and whatever. And my friends, we went to different cabins. And we were stuck for a weekend, like 8 girls together in one in a cabin, you know. And it was great.
Yeah.
And everything was so fun and it was deep and we were talking and it was wonderful. And then suddenly I just couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And I had to run out of the house and I would sit under a tree in the wood or up on the mountain and just cry because it was just too much for me, too much impressions from other people overload. Being on top of me all the time. I need self-care. That's also something that's really important when you're sensitive, I think, to take that charging time and to be okay with charging and that you need charging or cleansing, I guess, is what it is. And I see that my kids are so much better than me at that and that they've always been allowed to retire to their room whenever they feel overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And that they're really good at taking care of themselves as grown-ups or teenagers now compared to what I was because I've given them that space to be able to, like I've said, I see that it's too much for you, you know, go and take a charging time.
Mm.
And to be okay with that and that they are and that they know that they need to take that time for themselves to function is also so important.
It's so important. I learned that after my stroke, actually. If I still do something during the day after my work and I have a plan to go out for dinner or whatever, I always clear my mind, always, to prep myself in front of the new thing I'm doing, and it helps so much to just to take, if you just have 10 minutes it's okay. If you have 20, it's better.
Yeah,
but half an hour I don't need, so 20 minutes is the best, but 10 minutes is fine. It's good. And we normally have 10 minutes just to clear the mind, to take a break off, go away and be with yourself and clear your mind. So I think it's very important that more of us do it, or as I feel it, it's a gift for me to when I learned that, because it's easier to handle the whole day if it's a lot of impressions.
And looking back at it now, well, suddenly it just hit me that that's what I was doing with the horses.
Yeah,
too. Yeah.
Because when I was in the stable, I could just be with the horses and nobody would... Mm. Be bothering me. And when I was on the horse, I was just with the horse and me, and it was silent and it was heart-to-heart communication, and that was also cleansing. So that's so interesting to just recap or to see back on, look back on right now. I haven't really made the connection before.
Oh, good,
that's really cool.
We learned something about ourselves also here.
Well, it's important that we
do.
We always have to develop. We always have to go further.
Yeah. Better. And connecting the dots.
Yeah.
And I remember that a good friend of mine, she said that when I do the dishes, that is a meditation for me.
Yeah.
And when I do my ironing, I'm gone. And it's so calm. It's so good. And I remember I felt the same way when I was 16. I loved ironing. So I think you go into something that suits you,
you
in some way or another. You are not aware of it. And of course, we are lucky because we work in a trance state. We work with spiritual thing. So I am more in a meditative state working. So when I'm free, I need to come down to earth and, I'm here now. I'm on planet earth.
And get back into your body.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't go for meditation in the night. I don't. Normally don't.
No. And I understand when you have a wake up call and you're I could sit in the beginning when I had this awakening and I closed my eyes and I was going everywhere. I was on trip to other planets, other places. I did not want to come back. Mm. I wanted to sit in this situation. Yeah. And that's what you say, Marta. Like you want to, it's also an escape.
Yeah. Mm.
Because at that time, I was not happy. I was not happy in my marriage.
Mm.
I was struggling. So this was an escape in the beginning and a fantastic gift that I could feel this beautiful feelings.
Mm.
But then at a certain time, my guides, they said, okay, enough. Go out now and help others and use what you can do. Do what you can do to help others.
Mm.
And then from that time on, I was more into the earth also. But I understand how tempting it is to simply just drift away.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all understand that.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need to go.
But then you have people that say, I cannot meditate. It's too difficult.
Mm.
I cannot concentrate, a lot of thoughts. But it's put on some nice music.
Mm.
It's to take away also the stress in your body.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, there are many, many ways you can relax your body, and there are self-help books galore out there.
Yeah. Well, there's apps as well these days where you can listen to all these different kinds of apps, meditation so that you find your own meditation that suits you.
And you can go for a walk in the nature.
Yeah, that's... I think we lack that so much. We lack being outside.
Mm.
I was... You know, I've been so much, I talk about this a lot, but I've been in the stables so much. And with that, I was so much outside. Mm. I was riding outside. I was being outside. And then now I work with, you know, sitting inside, working with here with clothes or with you guys with the podcast. That's all inside, you know.
Yeah.
And just the other week, I was in Spain with my daughter at a competition. And suddenly I was outside again for the whole day with the horses.
Yeah.
And it just felt like I've never thought I was an outdoorsy person. No. But that's just because my life has always been outdoorsy. Yeah. Like I'm always outdoors.
Yes.
And I haven't realized how beneficial it is for me.
Mm.
So when I was there, I was like, oh my God, Marta, you have to start being more outside because like I got so refreshed. I was so... much calmer, like walking so much during the day, like 20,000 steps a day, you know, like it just gave me so much. I came back, it was just 3 days, but I came back so refreshed from the horses, from walking, from being outside, from the sun, obviously, as we've been through the dark times now, but we're, you know, going towards summer and it's amazing. And so it's I have to also take into account that I enjoy being outside and we need nature.
Yes.
We are born in nature and that's why don't we use that more just to calm our systems, you know, get into the space of meditation.
Yeah.
And so don't wear your earphones when you go for a walk. Listen to the sounds of nature and listen to the birds chirping, listen to or singing, listen to, you know, the wind in the trees, the water beside in the creek, listen to the things around you and be aware of it and be present because that is, we are also part of nature and that reminds us who we are.
It's relieving.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We are coming to the end of the podcast. Do we have a practice, ladies, for the week coming?
I think I have to. I want to follow up what you talked about, Marta, about walking in the nature, because when we are, as I can feel it, when I'm in nature, I also are connected with my nature and who I am. And maybe that could be a practice for the next week, that everybody try to take a walk out in the nature. And if you don't have a big forest around you, you can go walk in a park or connect with some trees. And if you want, you can a beach, whatever, and you can hug a tree. Hug a tree is fantastic.
Yeah.
If you do, when you go out and sit down, if it's possible, near a tree or hug a tree, try to do
or
that.
Or just lean against the tree.
Yeah,
even.
Just lean.
Just sit down and lean against the tree and just feel the energy running through you from the tree.
Yeah.
And without AirPods.
Yes.
Absolutely without AirPods.
Yes. And we'll do the walking in nature also without AirPods. And and you don't have to do a long walk. You can do 10 minutes or 15 minutes or an hour or two, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. But and it's also interesting when I'm out in the nature and doing nothing, all the good ideas come. But when I'm doing things at home, if I'm doing my work and whatever it is, I don't get any good ideas because I'm doing something. But when you're out in your stillness, you get really good new ideas. So try to listen to that voice when you're out there, just to be calm and listen to whatever that comes in.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Great.
Let's do that.
Amelia. Yeah.
Let's do that.
Let's do that. Till the next time. And please comment on our Instagram account. Come with suggestions or whatever you want us to talk about.
At Heart Smart Convos.
Heart Smart Convos.
Yes.
We are here for you.
Yes.
See you
and
next
please
week.
Oh. Follow us. On Spotify or Apple, and rate and say hello and whatever you want. Thank you.
Amazing.
And only
the
5
beautiful
stars.
Beautiful day. For a beautiful
we
night.
We can never end this podcast. It's so funny. Every time we're like, and we have to do. Oh, and we have to. We have to do this. So I'm sorry, everybody. We're going to finish now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Bye bye.
Love you guys. Bye.
Smart Conversations.